Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, and our esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, we welcome you to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 14th of Ramadan, 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 6th of April, 2023. Today, inshallah, our topic will be on Easter. Is there any basis for it? Let's welcome Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Saab, Tamad Barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, is there any basis for Easter? What's the history?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, we have to look at this topic, what do the Christians say and what do the Muslims say? So that is how you will solve the problem. So when we go to the Christians, then they say yes, that this is, remember, part of their belief and so forth and so on. So the main thing is they use is the story of Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So they say that he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So Jesus also has to be for 3 days, three nights in the belly of the earth. If you go to Matthew, so this is the Bible now, and chapter number 12 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, 40. So yeah, I will read for you as it is in the Bible. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. Son of Man meaning Jesus now here. So 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So to paraphrase it, so Jonah, that is Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam, was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, three nights. So he, Jesus, has to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. So that is what they're trying to say. Now when will all this happen? You know, just for a cross-reference, you will see the whole Western world, basically South Africa and 90% of the countries, that you will find them that they have two big holidays. One is Christmas, and remember Christmas, they say, is the birth of Jesus. So that is what they say. But nowhere is it mentioned in the scripture or anything and so forth. So we discussed that last year already. But just to refresh your memory, that nobody can prove conclusively that Jesus, peace be upon him, Nabi Isa alayhi salam's Milad Mubarak, honorable birth took place on 25th December. If you go to Palestine in December, is midwinter. I've been there at that time. So remember, it's so cold. And remember, if you study the Quran, Surah Maryam chapter 19, you will find that Almighty Allah is speaking about the fresh dates. وَهُزِّ إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْءِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِدْ إِلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. So the fresh dates will fall. فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. You must eat from those dates and you must drink the water, and Allah Ta'ala will make this the coolness of your eyes for Sayyidah Maryam. So this already rejects this whole story of 25th December. And it was in the summer months and not winter months. Similarly, if you study Luke in the Bible, you will see it mentioned that the shepherds would go out and take their animals for grazing and so forth. So grazing all day doesn't take place in winter, it takes place in summer. So it shows that the whole story also is a fabrication and concoction of the Christians. Now hear what they say that he was crucified. We reject all this, obviously. The Quran Sharif is very, very clear on it. Wama qatalu, the Jews did not kill him. name for Jesus, peace be upon him. وَمَا صَلَبُوا, nor did they crucify him. So this is what they say now. So once I remember the 3 days, 3 nights story, and then we go to the being crucified and so forth. So the first thing is, Jesus, if he's God, or the Son of God, and so forth, then how come he gets crucified and he dies and so forth? If God died or the Son of God dies, then who's running the world and so forth? And while he was dead and buried in the tomb and so forth, then who was running the world? Before his birth, who was running the world? Now these are questions none of them can answer. So I'll give you two, three interesting incidents. So let's work on their hypothesis, on their, you understand, argument that is the Christians. And they say that this happened on Friday. So Friday evening, so he was put into the tomb, right, at sunset. So it means Friday night is one night, all right? Then you got the whole of Saturday. So one night, one day. And then you got Saturday night. So you must remember, so now it is, so how many days? So you got 1 day and 2 nights. Friday night, Saturday night, and Saturday the day. Sunday, nothing. Why nothing? Because when Mary Magdalene went there to the tomb and the grave, it means it was empty. So it shows Sunday there was nothing. So the Bible said 3 days, 3 nights. But when you count now, you find it's only 1 day and 2 nights. Friday night, Saturday night, and Saturday the day. So how can that be? Either the Bible is lying or either you are lying. You can't have it both ways. So this, you must remember, they cannot. You must solve this problem. So you know Sheikh Ahmed Didat, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala blessed him in this field here. So he used to have, you must remember, debates with them. So I'm reading from his book. Remember, the book's name is Choice. The Choice, Islam and Christianity. This every Muslim person should have. It's a masterpiece, actually. It's called The Choice, Islam and Christianity by Ahmed Didat. So that's with a green cover, the copy I have, right? So I'm reading from his book, right in the ending, page 459. So God or the devil? So that is the heading. So after the meeting, during a personal discussion, meaning with the Christians and so forth, I congratulated Mustafa he for his ingenuity. How was it possible for the past 2,000 years that the Christian world had not known their religious arithmetic and to get their sums right? Even to this day, the bulk of the Christians commemorate a Good Friday instead of Good Wednesday. He agreed. That is Fahi, the priest, that he said it shouldn't be, that is, because 3 days, 3 nights, if you want it to work, then it must be Wednesday, not Friday. So he said, so who has deceived the 1,200,000 Christians of the world, including the Roman Catholics who have an unbroken chain of popes, from the first Pope Peter to the present Pope, into falsely celebrating Good Friday? I asked Mr. Fahi, that is, did that ask Fahi? So that is now here, page 459. Mr. Fahi unashamedly answered, the devil. The devil led them astray. See, this is a priest saying. So, if the devil, so Didat said, I said, so if the devil can succeed in confusing the Christians and keep them confused for 2,000 years in the most simple aspect of faith, how much easier it would be for the devil to mislead them in things concerning God. Mustafa, he blushed and walked away. See? So you get no answer for that. So if this is the belief of the trendsetters of Christianity, we may well ask, is this crucifixion not the mightiest hoax in history? Should we not now more appropriately call it crucifixion? Fiction meaning it is not truth, fiction. So F-I-C-T-I-O-N. So that is how you must remember that they can't answer this. Now if you want to look at the place and all that, because I've been there with Allah Ta'ala's help and mercy. So, if you go to Palestine, Jerusalem, Baitul Maqdis, Baitul Muqaddas, you will find that big, big walls there. So that area there is 36 acres. So all that is Aqsa Mubarak. Wherever you are, there is Aqsa. But if you look at the structure, then you will find, you must remember, that the structure in front is known as Masjidul Aqsa, and there with the golden dome, Surah Yasin inscribed, Qubbatu Sakhra, Dome of the Rock, and so forth. And if you go behind that, so you will find Kanisatul Qiyamah. That's our terminology. And if you go next to it, then you will find Masjid Umar. So yeah, interestingly, it's good, let me just mention it here, so that we don't forget. You know, when Sayyidina Umar came from Medina Munawwara, and then the leader of the Christians handed the keys to him and said, we acknowledge and accept and concede defeat, and now you all are in charge, and so forth. Then Mithaq-e Umar took place, the covenant of Sayyidina Umar with them, that your churches will not be demolished, and your places of worship and so forth, all will be protected and preserved and so forth. The Sufyanis, he made the suggestion. He told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh that you must expel every Jew here. Don't allow any Jew in Jerusalem, you see. So the request came from whose side? The Christian side, you must remember. And if you want a reference of all this, go read the book, Jerusalem, the Key to World Peace, a masterpiece, that book. In English, is one of the best books that I have read, Jerusalem, the Key to World Peace, and by the Islamic Council of Europe. So that is there. They have articles from the bishop, from the priest, from the rabbis and the Muslims and so forth. And in Arabic, Haqaiqul Qur'aniya, Hawla Qadiyatil Falastiniya. So that is a masterpiece as well. So we'll discuss that in a second part, but it was just something that came up to show you the exact location of it. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, salat time, they told him, read salat here. He threw the stone, and where the stone landed, the masjid, he read salat there. Now it's called Masjid Umar. So this Kanisatul Qiyamah, the Church of Resurrection, but today they call it the Holy Sepulchre. That's the famous name, Holy Sepulchre. So when I went in there, they were cursing me, and that I could see they were very, very upset. Obviously, the way we are and all that, any person can see we are Muslim and not somebody else. So when I just went inside, I said, let them curse me and do whatever they want to. I want to see what's going on, you see. So anyway, they were praying and so forth and so on and so. Now, our side, from Islamic perspective, we say this whole story, so therefore they have the Easter holidays, you must remember that. So Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, so it's supposed to be like that, and then you must remember you got Good Friday, so you know Saturday, Easter, Sunday, and then Monday. So that is how they work out their 3 days, three nights, and so forth and so on. But if you look at what the Bible says and what really happened, is Zameen Asman Farq, is a total, you must remember, no, it does connect between the two. So then I gave you the references and so forth. And for every Muslim, every Christian, every person, you should read this book. Remember, it solves so many problems that when you discuss about Islam and Christianity, and Sheikh Ahmed Didat, Allah Ta'ala give Jannatul Firdaus, he defended Islam everywhere. So you must remember, on especially these type of issues, very few people could take on these priest and all these type of people. But he was always willing and so forth, and this book he wrote and so forth. So therefore, we should know that what Islam says. Islam says, Sayyida Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a pure and a chaste lady. Her name, Nami Isme Grami, her honorable name is mentioned 34 times in the Quran. Maryam means Abida, and then she miraculously gave birth, remember, to him, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you look at the Christians, some Christians say that he was born miraculously. I heard Bishop Tutu myself personally. So I was in Newcastle, but I still like to listen to all these programs, religious programs. So one day they had Tutu on. And Tutu said that if you were an Anglican, you are an Anglican. And you said you're an Anglican and you believe that Jesus was not born miraculously, but Mary was the wife of Yusuf Najjar, Joseph the carpenter. So as far as Anglicans go, there's no problem with that. You can still be Anglican, believe in that. And if you say miraculously, there's no problem. So meaning he didn't say that to become a Christian or an Anglican, you must believe that this himself, he said this. You must remember this. So you can believe that Joseph the carpenter is the father of Jesus. So Islamically, that is kufr, is blasphemous. And remember, go open Surah Maryam, chapter 19, and you will see, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيَّا. No strange male touch me, and I am not a loose lady, and so forth. And if you go vis-a-vis to see what the Jutlas, the Haramis, the Jews have to say, they say that she was he and she, meaning he, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and she, the Honorable Mother, they say Ibn Zaniya, Allah forbid, the son of a harlot, meaning the son of a loose lady, and so forth. So Islam alone came with the pure, you must remember, message, and said, Maryam al-Adhra, Maryam the virgin, remember that. Maryam al-Batul, she left the toxic society in Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdis, Baytul Muqaddas, and went Makanan Sharqiyya, and there she gave birth. She was alone, and divine provision, divine arrangements were made for her. And remember that after 40 days when she came back, then they asked her that, how can work you? What is this child? Kayfa nukallimu man kana fil mahdi sabiya? She pointed, speak to him. And they said, how can we speak to a child in a cradle? The first words miraculously he spoke, Inni Abdullah, I am the slave and servant of Allah. He didn't say Inni Ibnullah, I am son of God. Nay, I am the slave of God. I am the servant of God, of Almighty Allah. So then they say that the Christians, that he grew up and then he got crucified and all these type of things. So that also as Muslims we totally reject and so forth. But the main thing is this, that we must corner the Christians when we speak about this, that you all say, and in Matthew it is mentioned, your Bible, that and chapter 12 verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So meaning that he will be buried for 3 days, three nights, and they all know that that's a lie, that it never happened like that. So either you have to say the Bible is wrong, or either what you are believing now is wrong. And both ways they lose out. So like that, how they can't solve the dilemma and the conundrum of the Trinity, one is equal to three, and three is equal to one, and so forth. But you know, masses are asses, you understand. Therefore, sometimes you know this communist and all of them, they make crazy statements, but for the non-Muslims is right, they think. They say that religion is the opium of the masses, you know, is a drug of the masses. The masses just believe in this and all that. So how many people gone astray now with the Pope and with the Catholic and with the Christianity and so forth? Therefore, you find today, it's not ours, it's all your people's documentation, this. So remember that BBC, if you just go to their documentaries and all that, so you will find that the rise of the Crescent, the rise of the Crescent, Crescent, Islam. So Islam is rising, masjid here, people embracing Islam, Quran in its pristine purity, the Ahadith Mubarakah, so in its pristine purity, people try and bring additions, omissions, and interpolations, but Allah Jalla Wala made thousands, millions of people Hafiz, Hafiz of the Noble Quran, Hafiz of the Hadith Sharif, and in that way, Almighty Allah has preserved our primary sources. Our primary sources are Quran and Sunnah. And remember, for them, you ask the Christian, you ask the Jew, not one of them can read the original scripture in its original language by heart, because they don't have. So all are corrupted, and they're just like the Shias. The Shias, we say the Quran Sharif got 6,236 verses. They say, if you go to Iran, Iraq, or you will find the same Quran, but they their belief is this, that if you go and read, you must remember Usulul Kafi by Kulaini. Kulaini is the person, according to them, the Kufar Shia, that he met the Imam Ghaib, the 12th Imam, and that. So that's their chain. All fabrication, concoctions. So they say he's sitting there with the noble Quran, and this is mentioned in Usulul Kafi, and he's there, and remember, he's got the original Quran, 17,000 verses. So we say, okay, that what our ulama say, that the Shias can't become Hafiz, that's wrong. We must remember what is wrong must be said. That's wrong, that we must remember. They become better Hafiz than us. So you must remember every verse they know, what number is that. I experienced it myself. So when I was in Medina, one Shia came and so forth. So to say that they don't have, that's wrong. They have Hafiz. But remember that they don't read to perform Taraweeh, and remember that they, so we ask this question to them, that okay, you say that the 17,000 verses in the Quran, so where is the Quran? They say by Imam Ghaib, the 12th Imam, he's missing in action for 12 centuries or plus minus. So remember that. Then we ask them the question, okay, show us that who's the Hafiz of that, you see, for that they can't answer. So always you can trap them very, very easy and so forth, put them in a corner and so forth. So that is, so for us, and the best part, they speak of justice, you know, these Christians. So you ask them, where's the justice in this? You ask, whether the many churches, whenever I go any country, I find a synagogue, I find a church, I just go inside. Because I want literature from them, you see. So that's the best way to get the books. They giving you what they believe in. So that is, then you know this is what they believe in. Like many times when we write or our people write, there can be mistakes there. But this they giving you from the horse's mouth. So therefore, that's a very easy strategy. So wherever I go, I just go into a church. I'm a traveler. I'm a visitor and so forth. Or synagogue and so forth. Uzbekistan also, I landed up in a synagogue on top of it. When I was leaving there, that guy told me, you must put money. I say, I must put money for you guys, for you Jutlas, for you. So I told him, yeah, I'm going to put money, but not for you, but I'm going to put for Palestine. Understood? Obviously not here, I'll put somewhere else. So he looked at me very badly, you know. He was very surprised that how can I tell him like that. So anyway, the point I'm making here is this. Now we're speaking of justice. So how can this be justice that ABC male, he commits fornication, adultery with XYZ, right? Then they go there to the church. So when they go to the church, the father, the priest will say, you know what? There Jesus was crucified and he died for our sins. He died for our sins. So where's the justice there? So therefore, they have one belief, the Christians, they call the original sin. Islam says, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, kullu mauludin yuladu alal fitra, that every child is born on the natural disposition, the Muslim basically. And then the parents, they make him a Jew, Christian, or fire worshipper, or what, abawahu yuhubidani, or yunassirani, or yumajjisani. But they say every child is born a sinner. They call original sin. You see, that is Christian terminology. So we reject all that, and it don't make any sense also. How can a child be born a sinner, and so forth? And they say, no, the sin is there. So that is one. Second one is this, then in the church, one corner there, they will have confession room. So the person sits one side, there's a curtain. I saw that myself, and I went inside to see. So, and they got the curtain, and that side the priest sits. So this guy say, oh, father, that you know what, I had an affair with my neighbor's wife, or I was sleeping, Adam was sleeping with Steve, you understand, then sleeping with Eve. So the father will say, the priest from that side, don't worry my son, that you are forgiven and so forth, you know Jesus, he died for our sins and all that. Now you tell me, can any person accept this here in the 21st century? So that is, in essence, you must remember that all about Easter, and then they give them all Easter eggs and all that to eat, hot cross buns and all that. Therefore, our fatwa on this is that for Muslims to partake of this Easter eggs and hot cross buns and all that is haram, is not permissible. Anything associated with anybody else's religion, Diwali time, they got their celebration, this Jutlas, yet Rosh Hashanah, and that their New Year, so they got special time, now Passover, they got their special type of food and whatever. For us to consume that, you must remember, is not permissible. So we must be clear on all these issues. Mushabihat, and to emulate, imitate the non-Muslims in their religious festivals, although you say, no, I got nothing to do with them, but the zahir, the prima facie evidence will be against you, and therefore we say, nahnu nahkumu bi zawahir, wallahu mutawalli sarair, that we pass the verdict according to the superficial, and Almighty Allah knows what is in the heart, that will happen day of justice. But in the world, we pass the verdict on what is the evidence in front of us.
Mufti Sahib, a listener says, I'm a non-Muslim, I'm working for Muslim people. I hear the our madam reading the dua after Adhan, and my heart feels like I can read the same dua when Adhan finishes. But I don't know what it means in English so that I can read it in English.
Yes, you can read it, but more importantly is not just reading the dua and supplication. Most important thing is that you have to embrace Islam. The message there, the caller is saying, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, come towards prayer, come towards success, and so forth. So you have to embrace Islam, and then it will be meaningful for you. So one dua after the Adhan is Durood Sharif, Salawat, salutation upon the Prophet, peace be upon him. Second dua, supplication, is of Tawheed and Shahadatain. I bear witness that truly there is none worthy of worship except Almighty Allah. And I also bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the last and final messenger. And then the third dua is that Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma. So that's a long dua, that is that you are bearing, you know, witness that this call was made, and you, Allah Ta'ala, grant the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the special place in the year after. And when we read all this, then inshallah, God willing, all Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the help and with the permission of Almighty Allah, will intercede for us on the day of justice. But you see, brother, you want to travel from here to India, Pakistan, wherever, so New York or wherever, you need a passport. So to enter, you must remember, into Jannah and Paradise, and receive the intercession of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Islam and Iman. Islam is the external, Iman is what is in the inner recess of our heart. That is the prerequisite and the condition. So that is what you must remember.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the second portion we want to focus on Al-Aqsa Masjid. Mufti Sahab, what do the Jews mean by Temple Mount?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. To understand all this here, remember that you need to understand what is Zionism. So that is the main thing that first you need to understand. Then you will understand what's going on now. So now Zionism started when the Ottoman Empire were in the ending stages. So you must remember the founding fathers of the Ottoman Zionism was Herzl and all of them, H-E-R-Z-L and like that. So some of them even met Sultan Abdul Hamid. You must remember that Sultan Abdul Hamid, he ruled the Ottoman Empire for 33 years. If you study the Ottoman Empire, Khilafat-e-Usmaniyah, they ruled for 640 years. If you take from starting right till ending, so over 600 years. And remember the two people who played the most prominent role, you must remember, was one Sultan Abdul Hamid, so as he was the one, and you must remember there was the others, so they were ruling for like that, not countries, they were ruling, you must remember, the continents, you must remember. So that is what they were doing, and so forth and so on. So they told him, we will give you so much, so much. We will pay all the debts of the Ottoman Empire and so. So all this. He said, I won't give you even that one dust, handful of dust, I won't give you. So that is how they made sure that they work against him, and then the Khilafat collapsed and all these type of things. So in those days already, 1790s and that, and they had their first meeting there in Switzerland in a place called Bern, B-E-R-N-E. So at least that much we should know. Right. So what are the aims, objectives, you must remember, of Zionism? They got four aims, four objectives, so you must remember that. So number one is that they said that they offered them there in Argentina place. They said, we don't want. They offered them here, Ethiopia, Uganda, they say. So what you want? Because after World War II, people were sympathetic and all that. So we want Palestine. And their slogan was, a land without a people and a people without a land. That was their slogan. So who's a people without a land? They, the Jutlas, the Zionists. And they said, Palestine is a land without a people. You see the lie they started already. There were people there, the Palestinians were there. So, but they said, a people, because the Jews are masters in speaking with a forked tongue. I mean, Quran says this, لَيَّمْ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَطَعَنًا فِي الدِّينِ. So they will criticize Islam and they'll speak always with a forked tongue, not the truth. So they'll say peace, P-E-A-C-E, but go and occupy and steal more pieces. So that's how they started. Then 14 May, so Palestine becomes, you must remember, Israel. And the first country to recognize them was America. Then everybody else, Britain, Russia, this, that, all of them came in. So remember this. So Britain are the biggest haramis and culprits in this. It was them who were in charge, the British mandate. They gave somebody else's land to another people without consulting the first people, the real people who were there. So that is where everything went, started wrong. And then America came. So these are the illegitimate parents of this illegitimate harami state called Israel. So that's in 1948. Then you fast forward, you must remember, in 1967, Moshe Dayan came, and then they defeated the Arabs, and he came right till Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and that is under occupation from then. So one is the country, so Israel. We say the harami state, illegal state, terrorist, apartheid, Nazi state. And then they say capital, they say eternal and undivided capital. So Jerusalem. You see, so that is what they say. Then third thing they say, you see Smotrich, he did it now. So all this is, and let me give you this example. Always when I speak on this, I take out my handkerchief. I say that, see, this is the flag of Israel. So it's a white flag, and it has a blue line on top and a blue line at the bottom, and the Star of David in between. The blue line on top and the bottom is a smack in the face of every true Muslim. We can't say every Muslim, because today the Muslim, half of them are traitors and the other half are half asleep. You remember that. So the half that are traitors and murtads, and then they're not Muslim by name. Yesterday or before yesterday I read an article. They say Muslims are over 2 billion in the world. So I send a message to that person. The people who speak like this, they including the Qadianis and Shias and Agakhanis and every person with a Muslim name. So you have to reduce it by minimum 50%. If you say 1 billion Muslim also, you're lucky, but we can just round it off on that 1 billion. So 2 billion, and we're just fooling ourselves. You must remember that. So anyway, So now, when he Smotrich, the harami, when he went to America, from America, they didn't give him much show. Then he went there to Paris. So he took out, you must remember, that whole thing of theirs. In their terminology, they call it Eretz Israel. E-R-E-T-Z, Eretz Israel, Greater Israel, Larger Israel. So what is the blue line on top and blue line at the bottom? Min al-Furati ila al-Nil. From the Euphrates River in Iraq, right up to River Nile. They say that is Israel. We say, who told you? He says, in the Torah. So you say, yeah, it is in the Torah. Your grandfather wrote it there. So because you change everything, yuharrifuna al-kalima amma wadihi. Quran says they brought about interpolation. situation. They brought about changes. They wrote so many things that are not there and so forth. So imagine they want to use the Torah to justify that from Iraq right up to, you must remember, River Nile and all that. So it belongs to them. Min al-Furati ila al-Nil. So this is that what is, and it's working for them now. So if you look at it, and you know, and we don't fool ourselves. So Israel, Palestine has become Israel. And if you look at it, then you see Jerusalem has become their capital in the sense that the Muslims, where are the Arab leaders, Muslim leaders, and they can't do anything because they're hopeless, good for nothing, impotent. And then third one, if you just take these two countries, I've been there. So Iraq, you must remember, is Furat. So they're the Kufar Shia there. So Jutlas, Shias and Jutlas are father and son relationship. So the founder of, you must remember, Shia Azam is who? Is a Jew. And this is written in the Shia Kitab. Go open Rijalul Kashi. You will find there, Kashi is a place name in Iran. So remember that in Rijalul Kashi, you will find that is written there by their own scholars that the founder of Shia Azam is Abdullah bin Sabah wa Kana Yahudiya. And he was a Jew and so forth. So the father was a Jew. So Shia Azam came like that and to cause the conflict, tension within the Sunnis and so forth. Otherwise, I studied their books from Kitabul Tahara till Kitabul Miras. I haven't found the starting of what we teach in jurisprudence. I haven't found one chapter that from starting to ending we agree on everything. Everywhere you will find differences. So you know, there's nothing here. You take Kalima, you take Adhan, you take Huzu, you take, you must remember, Salat, you take Siyam, you take Hajj. Anything you take, a husband-wife relationship. For these haramis, these Shias, kuffar, they say you can sodomize your wife also. That also is permissible. You go to the back passage, they say it's permissible. So you must remember these type of things here. So everything, we have differences with them. So Iraq suits them fine. See what's happening now. Shias and America. So what happens? That America is sitting their forces and that in Syria. Bashar Assad is there, and he's a Pakka Shia, the worst Shia, Alawi Shia, and they are siphoning oil from there, bringing into Iraq, and then it goes to America. You see the Shia connection there. You must be blind if you can't see all these things there. Or are you living in some other world? You must remember that. So it's a whole conspiracy. You must understand this thing. So that is there. Then if you take Egypt, the Muslim rulers are in jail. Where are the Ikhwan? So Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun. So if you look at their leaders, Hassan al-Banna and Sayyid Qutb and Abdul Qadir Ouda and all of them. And then the last one was Dr. Hafiz Muhammad Mursi. So you must remember Rahimahullah. So we consider him to be the president. How we consider President Saddam Hussein, Rahimahullah, for both of them. So, but they made sure they killed them, they destroyed them and so forth. So, and when Mursi passed away, they never even allowed the people. So privately they just did quick and everything. Then the people came to know. So all this year, because the Ibnul Yahudiya is there, the son of a Jewess. So you see how far they have come. So you must remember, these are the aims and objectives of Zionism. So there's one more, then they will say mission accomplished. So that is what's going on now. So what is the last one? I told you there's four objectives. They're already three-quarter way. So therefore, they feel we can do it. So, you know, Quran says, Bakaratun Swafra, of the yellow color cow and all that. So they waiting in their books, Talmud and that is written, you must wait for Bakaratun Hamra, a pure red cow. And then, so the whole Masjidul Aqsa is the 36 acres, that land and everything there. So the back portion, you must remember, where Qubbatu Sakhra is built by Abdul Malik bin Marwan. So there, they say, there is the Temple Mount. That is where they want to put their temple there, Haikale Suleimani, the Temple of Solomon. And they want to demolish. Openly they say that we are, Allah forbid, going to demolish this, and we are going to get rid of it, and we're going to replace it with the Haikale Suleimani temple. Everything is ready. It's just they're waiting for the red cow and so forth. And with this jutlas, they can engineer that also. Suddenly you will say a red cow came and is born. You must remember there in Bethlehem or in Nazareth or in Jerusalem or Nablus or wherever, they'll just say something. That also they can do. You know that. So anyway, they're doing that. So then they will say, now we have accomplished everything and so forth. And Zionism is the true this thing. Now, here there's two, three things you must understand. You get like Biden and them. You see Muslims are, you know, they don't read, they don't understand. Therefore, with Dalums also, even this morning I commented on that. One lady asked that, you must remember from Azadwal, why is it so difficult to learn Arabic? I said our techniques in the Dalum, it's not right how we're teaching. We make things so difficult for them, you know. We have to change that. Adopt the Egyptian model and that. Al-Arabiya li-ghayri natiqin. They have excellent books, you know, but our style is different. You know, we make it so difficult for them and for the students to study and all this kind of thing. Yeah. So I just gave example of inheritance and all that. So now our people there, if you ask them Sahyuniya, they never know what is Sahyuniya. So the Zionism and so forth. So our Dalums, they must have one period to teach the students all these kind of things, you know. So what is really happening in the real world and this type of things. Yeah. They know unaware. 90% don't know about these things. So what happens is this, that you have, they think every Jew is a Zionist and every Zionist is a Jew. It's totally wrong. If you know Johannesburg history, South African history, there's airport here. This airport was called now O.R. Tambo Airport. Before that, it was called Johannesburg Airport. Before that, it was called Jan Smuts Airport. Jan Smuts himself was an Afrikaner, but is a Zionist. So Zionism is across the world. So you don't have to be a Jew. Like Biden said this time when he landed, I'm a Zionist, but I'm not a Jew. So he made it very clear. So they accept all these type of things here. So you must remember there's four objectives and all. Therefore, so that is Christian Zionism. But the Jew, the Christians won't do anything. There must be some benefit for them. So they use one term, and it's called Armageddon. Armageddon means that Qiyamah and all that will start from there and so. So the Christians say, no, we must support these people. And once these Zionists fulfill the objectives, then we will invite them towards Christianity. And they also believe this, that once that Haikal-e Soleimani is established, then remember, their king will come. Their king is for the Jutlas, for the Jews, is Dajjal. So he will come. And the Christians believe that once that comes, then Jesus will come. So they say we must expedite everything so Jesus will come quickly. You see, so everybody got some hidden agenda and so forth. So that is what is going on and all the clashes and all these type of things. The Palestinians, Allah alone reward them. You look at the Arab League, you look at the Arab countries, good for nothing. This morning I said, they're having an emergency meeting and so forth. I told them, just cancel that meeting because the resolutions you will take are not worth the paper on which is written. The Jutlas, the Israelis laugh at you because you come crawling to them. Look at Saudi Arabia, look at Emirates, look at Bahrain, look at Jordan, look at Egypt, look at, you know, Morocco. All the murtads, whole lot murtads. I'm speaking of the leaders. So not one is a Muslim. They got Muslim name, but not Muslim. So remember, they more interested that what takshan nas. They fear America more than they fear Allah. They fear this one more than they. So where is the Iman and all? Nothing. So therefore, we will support Hamas. We will support Jihad Islami. We will support anybody there as long as they are Sunni Muslims. Now see how Iran has, you must remember, they had taken advantage of the situation. We must speak the truth, you know. But you can speak the truth if you know. So this, that Arab countries send money, that we must say. Qatar sends millions of dollars. Saudi sends, this one sends. That they do. But nobody sends arms. You know, and that's what they need. Who sends arms? Iran. So you must remember this kind. So Iran says, you guys send money, what else? You'll do nothing. See how many arms we are. So whenever you hear that Gaza from here, the rocket went, or this went, and this went, from where are they getting this? From Iran. I mean, that is the truth. We have to. Now, Iran are haramis also. They won't do it just for nothing. So they want to use that to make them, the people in Gaza and Palestine, Shia. So Iran will never go in today. So now, yesterday, you must remember, two ships docked in Cape Town from Iran. So what do you think? They came to see the Table Mountain or something, or to come see Robben Island or something. So Iran will never get involved anywhere unless there's great benefit for them. They know South Africa is a player with BRICS. They now good with Russia. They now they're giving them all that kamikaze drones and so forth. They're good with China. So now they get good with South Africa. So that will pave the way for them to enter into BRICS and so forth and so on. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work all these things out, you know. So that is what the whole conflict is. And our people, see, let me give you one quick. How does Ummah, all across the board, how does Ummah sold Palestine? You must remember that. These three things you must know. 1994, it was a Saturday. I was in Newcastle. I still remember that. And my wife sent me to go to buy something and all. And it's always my habit, whenever I'm in the car, I switch on the radio. So whether it's news, not news, I just play with the stations and see what's going on. And it was the 16th Psalm, and by us it was 15, that was 16, 1994 Ramadan. So I've been there in 89, I've been there in 92, so I knew exactly what they're talking about. This happened on a Saturday, 16 Fars, 1994, Masjid Khalilur Rahman. So in Hebron, where Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is buried, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam is buried, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, the honorable spouses, all that. Baruch Goldstein, this Ben Gwir, the Harami, La'anahullah, and there's Baruch Goldstein were the best of friends. They belong to the same organization. He came in Fajr time whilst they were reading Salat with his Uzi. It's obvious the police and whoever, they gave him permission. And he murdered and martyred our people. 29 dropped dead and became martyrs there in the masjid. So therefore, this road is called Tariq al-Shuhada. It's closed also till now. So for the Palestinians and so forth. The eventual death toll was approximately 70. See? So then they got hold of him and they dispatched him to hell, Baruch Goldstein. So they built a big mausoleum for him and all that. The Jutlas go there. They call him the greatest soldier of Israel. They kiss his tomb and all this type of thing. We say straight to hell, dispatched to hell. So that is what you must know. Now Israeli style justice, this is 94. When I went after that, 97, 98, around there, that masjid is partitioned, you see. The front portion, Muslim, back portion for the Jews. And they stole our masjid, and not one Arab country spoke anything. Not one Muslim country did something constructive. So they said, this is very good. We can steal their masjid, everything. And so they want to do the same thing with Aqsa. They will partition it according to them, fi za'mihim, and in their mind and so forth. So the back portion, that is Haikal Sulaimani, Temple of Solomon, and the front portion, you. So the Palestinians say that we saw what you did there, and for Aqsa, we will never allow it. Biddam, birruh nafdika ya Aqsa. With our life, with our blood, we'll give. Allah will accept it. And inshallah, the Jutlas will be successful. And in the history will be written. Today we are alive. Remember these words. That when history is written, then this MBS, MBZ, this kings of Jordan, Morocco, and of, you must remember, Bahrain and Egypt, all will be written. That were the sellouts, the traitors, and murtads of Islam, and so forth. That will be the history written, and the Palestinian children, and you will see how the tide will turn. Sheikh Ahmad Yasin Rahimahullah said, 2027 Israel will fall. I don't say you must believe in it. It is his opinion. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But remember that Israel now wants a war. Why they want a war? To distract the people. There are millions of them. If you take past 13 weeks, that how many millions have marched? If you know Israeli politics, every fifth person, more than 20%, has marched against their government. Netanyahu is in a tight corner, and he knows that his government can fall any time. So now he wants to sway the opinion of the Jutlas and so forth. He's a serial liar. He's the liar of liars, Netanyahu, the Harami war criminal. And now they want a war against Palestine. So then people will say, no, these are good and that. But Allah Ta'ala will disgrace them again. And the Saudis, you must remember Abdul Aziz, he's the father of all these kings. So he signed the document and he said, yes, give these poor Jews a portion, their meaning place to stay there and all that. And then they were paid and all this kind of thing. So the Saudis also sold out, you must remember, when it comes to Palestine. So therefore, we mustn't think that the Saudis at that time were very good. They were also accomplices in the treachery against Palestine. So that is what's really happening now. Therefore, the Palestinians, and now I agree with them 100%, he say you must never call the leader the Khadimul Haramain, you must call him Khainul Haramain, the traitor and the one who sold Islam. So we agree with that as well. So you Muslims must read and understand. If you want to understand about Christianity, get this book here by Ahmad Didat, The Choice, Islam and Christianity. And if you want to understand about Palestine and all that, so get the book, and it's in English, Jerusalem, The Key to World Peace by the Islamic Council of Europe. Or if you know Arabic, good Arabic, then go read that Haqaiqul Qur'aniya Hawla Qadiyatil Falastiniya, and that will give you a lot of insight. We cry, we beg, ask Allah during the sacred month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, give victory to the Palestinians and decimate and destroy and annihilate the Haramis, the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.